On today's show, in stark contrast to what happened on Sunday in San Antonio, the Hawks hold serve and get a nice victory at home over the Detroit Pistons on this Tuesday evening. We'll get into all the details and more coming up.
You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 1436 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you on a Tuesday evening into Wednesday, and I want to thank you for joining us on today's podcast. As always, I tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Basketball GM. If you've been dreaming about becoming an NBA GM and managing your own basketball franchise, this game is absolutely for you. Download the game right now at ultimatebasketballgm.com. Look it up in the App Store, and listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise by using the promo code LOCKEDON in the game. Today's show, we'll get into what became a 129-107 win for the Hawks at home over the Detroit Pistons in a game that was basically the exact opposite of what happened on Sunday in San Antonio. If you missed it, I recorded a podcast after that collapse that the Hawks had against the Spurs on Sunday, and also another mailbag-driven podcast on Monday evening. I definitely encourage you to listen to those podcasts as well as subscribe to the show. But with this win, the Hawks should have back to 500 on the season. Obviously, that's not great. At 36-36 through 72 games, but they're now they've actually been within a single game of 500 for 26 consecutive games, the longest streak in the history of the NBA. And no matter what the result is on Wednesday in Minnesota, it'll be 27 because the Hawks are back to 500 right now. So win or lose, they'll be within a game of 500 at this point. And again, my biggest takeaway from this game was just kind of the contrast to Sunday. I will say that even with San Antonio being as bad as they've been, this is even an easier matchup for the Hawks on paper. The Pistons are basically the walking wounded right now. Half their team is gone for injury, et cetera. This game is also at home. The Pistons only had 10 available players in this game, including three guys I would describe as G League players, just to be kind. Sorry, probably unkind, but try to be a little bit honest about that. The Hawks were without DeJounte Murray in this game with a non-COVID illness, and Bogey ended up getting the start in his place, along with Jalen Johnson being out, as I talked about yesterday on the show. But even with all that, the Hawks were, according to FanDuel, our friends over there, 13.5-point favorites in this game. The largest point spread favorite of the season for Atlanta, which tells you that they kind of need to win this game, obviously. But in contrast to Sunday, there was no messing around this time for the Hawks. Once the game was actually out of reach in the second half, it stayed out of the reach. The Hawks kind of probably kept the pedal down to the floor longer than you might have thought that they probably needed to in this game, which might have been, I would say, in response to what happened on Sunday. But no matter what, they won this game comfortably. The third quarter was dominant from Atlanta against an overmatched opponent, and they ended up winning all four quarters and just playing well in this game. Offensively, it was really good for the majority of the night. Ended up with about a 130 offensive rating in this game. That speaks for itself. That's obviously an excellent figure against anyone in the NBA. They didn't shoot it incredibly well, only 37% from three, which is totally fine, and then 46% from the field. So not bad numbers shooting-wise at all, but not incredible numbers. But they were really awesome everywhere else. For one, the Hawks took 38 threes in the game on Tuesday. That isn't a crazy high number for a lot of teams, but it's actually one of the top five marks of the season for Atlanta in three-point volume. And in contrast to that, only took 10 long twos. That's a very good ratio, one we'd like to see moving forward a lot more from this Hawks team. They also tied their season high with 36 free throw attempts. They didn't shoot it perfectly there. Actually, they were only 75% from the line, which is pretty bad for an NBA team. But at the same time, they got to the line repeatedly. Trey took 15 attempts, and 36 attempts for anybody is really good. The Hawks have been a low free throw team a lot, especially non-Trey division. And to go ahead and kind of take advantage of Detroit's over-aggressiveness was probably a very encouraging thing to see in this game. And then finally, the offensive glass. The Hawks grabbed 44% of their missed shots on the glass in this game. It had 23 second chance points. That's a ton of volume. And that kind of sort of overwhelmed and overcame the not bad shooting, just not great shooting. Plus, they had 26 assists, 11 turnovers, just very solid across the board in the supporting metrics in this game on offense. On defense, it got better as the game went along. As we'll get into in a second, the start of this game defensively was not all that pretty, but by the end, it was a 107 defensive rating. That's kind of what it should be. It's an excellent figure against a bad Detroit offense. They got blasted a little bit in the first quarter. It got better in the second quarter, and then they kind of dominated the third and held the Pistons to under a point per possession in the entire second half of the game. No matter who you're playing against, if you can hold an NBA team to sub 1 point per possession in a whole half of basketball, that is very, very intriguing. And it was particularly good in the third quarter. Quinn Snyder pointed this out after the game as well, the improvement there at the point of attack. I've been basically yelling and screaming about the point of attack defense all year long as being a huge weakness of this team. That was the case early on this game. But once they kind of locked in defensively in the third quarter, it was really, really good. They executed very well. They obviously contested shots, got some help from the Pistons and missing shots. And Detroit did not shoot the ball well at all in this game. 41% from the floor and 33% from three-point range for Detroit in this one. The Hawks didn't create a ton of havoc, only 9 or 10 turnovers from the Pistons in this game, but a great job on the defensive glass. The Hawks ended up taking 5 more shots from the field and 12 more free throws than the Pistons. You love to see that math battle. I sometimes talk about that in very simple terms, but generally speaking, taking that many more shots than your opponents do from the line and from the field is a good recipe for success, and Atlanta just played better than Detroit in this game. And yes, Pistons are bad. And I would have come on this podcast and told you if the Hawks had lost this game, it would have been a disaster. I said on the preview show yesterday on my Patreon, patreon.com/BTRoland, nothing is a must win in the NBA, basically. And generally speaking, it's 1 of 82. But this is a spot where the Hawks just could not afford to lose. The Pistons at home with regular rest and all that, this is about as easy of a matchup as you possibly could have in the NBA. And I think that 13.5-point spread definitely is an indication of that. Still, though, you're professional basketball players, and you can lose if you don't show up, as we saw on Sunday. And the Hawks did not have sort of fall victim to that this time around. They really put the screws to the Pistons in the third quarter, and that was encouraging to see on the whole. All right, we'll get into what happened in this game as far as how it unfolded from the entire gameplay perspective. But at the end of the show, we'll get into the player evaluations on this night. But first, a word from our sponsors on today's show. I am very excited about our new partner and sponsor on today's episode, and that is the mobile game Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. If you've been dreaming about becoming a GM in the NBA and managing a basketball franchise, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. You can manage every aspect of the team, play through the season, and lead your team to glory with Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. You are responsible for hiring the right coaches, training players, making draft picks, and generally navigating the franchise through stuff like free agency and all the fun challenges of a season. This all happens in a realistic game world, and Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is completely free, and it's playable offline as well. You can play on the go, wherever you want, and how much you want, and we're already having fun behind the scenes, talking trash to each other, and you're locked on podcast network group chats, and it's really a great way to connect with friends who are also diehard basketball fans. And because you're a listener to this podcast, you can get a 100% free boost to the franchise when you use the promo code Locked On in the game store. Download the game right now, visit probasketballgm.com or scan the code to look it up in the app store. That is probasketballgm.com, and when you get there, use promo code Locked On. Ultimate Basketball GM, start your dynasty today. All right, and it was a kind start for the Hawks in this game, a 9-3 run to open the game off with Bogey hitting a three to start the game. Offensively, they got what they wanted for really the majority of the game, especially early on. Hunter had 10 points on 2 threes early in this game as well. I will say they had some trouble with Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley was really cooking in this game. Marvin Bagley's never been a bad offensive player. It's that his defense is so bad, but when he's making jump shots as he was in this game, he's actually very difficult to stop. He had 31 points. He was really, really hot in this game early on. He was part of a big run by Detroit in the first quarter to give them the lead. They were actually getting up a lot of three-point attempts at the outset and playing fast to kind of flummox the Hawks in this one. Rotationally, there was at least one mild surprise. So with Murray out and Johnson out, the Hawks had to go deeper than their 10. Since Snyder actually came on board, the Hawks have basically been able to play 9 of their 10 guys in every game. They've only had one absence at a time. This is the first time in the entire Snyder era where they actually had to make some decisions beyond the top 10 on paper because they had 2 of those guys were out. And the result was they actually ended up playing 10 guys in this game, which Snyder has said he doesn't want to do on a regular basis. But it was AJ, in addition to Sadiq Bey and Okongwu as the 6, 7, and 8. And then it was Aaron Holiday and Garrison Matthews. So Aaron Holiday played mostly when Trey was off the floor in this one, but still gave him some decent minutes. Talked about him a little bit yesterday as a defensive weapon the Hawks will probably use a little bit more of at times. And then Garrison Matthews had his first rotation minutes since joining the Hawks, since he came over, there's been no injuries ahead of him, at least not major ones. So he's not been able to play really at all. So he played, and we'll come back to him later on, but that was interesting to have that be the decision in this game. They had a nice 8-2 run at the end of the first quarter with Sadiq Bey making 2 threes to help them the Hawks get the lead back. Trey had 11 in the first quarter as well. And offensively, the Hawks just dominated. They had 38 points on 25 possessions. They had great supporting metrics across the board. They really leaned to the offense first with regard to playing lineups at the end of the quarter with Garrison Matthews, Sadiq Bey, and Trey on the floor all at the same time, plus AJ Griffin. Obviously, a lot of offense leaning there. Defensively, as I said before, it was really rough actually in the first quarter, but then from there, it was quite good the rest of the game. It was Aaron Holiday with Trey off to start the second quarter, but they I thought importantly played Aaron with Bogey, I think every time Trey left the floor in this game. That's the only way to do that. Aaron Holiday's weaknesses kind of get magnified on offense. But if you put him with Bogey, who's kind of their third ball handler in a lot of ways, that can kind of offset that a little bit. And then play him with Bogey and Matthews for a little bit of extra shooting as well. They lost the lead a little bit actually briefly in the third quarter, sorry, the second quarter before Collins hit a three. It was not comfortable at all. The Hawks were up by seven at the halftime break. They didn't play, you know, great basketball, I don't think, and didn't shoot it well at all in the first half. But off the glass, free throw attempts, et cetera, kind of edged ahead. And in the third quarter, things really broke up. Honestly, the biggest single stretch of the entire game was the top of the third quarter. A 16-0 run by Atlanta. That speaks for itself. To go from up seven to up 23, and from that point forward, it was really over. It wasn't actually over at that point, but in retrospect, it definitely was. Bogey hit three threes in about 4 minutes. Collins had a bucket and a huge block on Jaden Ivey. Detroit only had 2 points in about 5 minutes, and defensively, the Hawks were very locked in. Not just missing shots from Detroit, but just like actually executing defensively, really contesting and doing a very, very good job on that end of the floor. Hawks have a cold spell in the third quarter offensively with only 2 points, like 3.5 minutes or so. Trey had a turnover that led to a bucket and a timeout to go only up by 18 points at that point in time. But Trey got his fourth foul actually right after that. And they had to go to Aaron a little bit earlier than usual, but ended up being up by 22 after dominating the third quarter in general. They held Detroit to 6 of 22 shooting in the third. And on the Hawks side, they had 9 assists and attempted 13 threes in the third quarter. Love that process. They were playing fast, playing decisively, and playing well. The fourth was largely uneventful. They were up by 20-plus for the vast majority of things. Got to 26 with about 7 minutes to go. Capella had a dunk off a pass by Collins with like 6 minutes to go. That was probably the dagger if there kind of had to be a dagger in this game. I honestly don't think the Hawks probably should have brought the starters back in. They brought Trey, Collins, and Capella back up 24 with 7 minutes to go. That's not terrible, but given that there's a back-to-back tomorrow, I probably would not have done that. But I do understand it because of the way Sunday happened, basically, that the Hawks kind of felt the need to kind of just make sure this game was over. They did that. There was no real trouble down the stretch. They played through Steve Bay a couple times on offense against mismatches. Clint had a huge block. AJ had a three, and the party was basically over from there. They pulled everybody with 3 minutes to go, and then the Hawks did have – there was a little bit of drama at the very, very end. Jaden Ivey tried a layup with like 2 seconds to go, and the Hawks did not seem to like that very much. But other than that, that was kind of the end of that, and there was not a huge bit of drama at the end of this contest. Again, generally speaking, the Hawks were in control for the vast majority of this game. It wasn't as if they played perfectly, because they didn't, for sure. But when you factor everything in, they never really trailed beyond like a couple possessions after the first few minutes of this game, and that's a pretty good sign against a bad team. They won every quarter. The third quarter was dominant, and the fourth quarter was basically garbage time from like the six-minute mark on, and really full-on garbage time for the last 3 minutes with Trent Forrest, V. Krejci, and Bruno Fernando getting into the game and having a little bit of time at the end of a victory. So we'll have more on this in a moment with regard to how this game transpired from a player perspective, individual breakdowns, as we always do on the podcast. And if you are a new listener, what we do is go through every single player and how they sort of performed in this spot. Before we get to that, though, a word from our sponsors on the podcast today. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, and the best time of the year is happening right now in college basketball. Plus, this stretch run is also here in the NBA, and it's perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're a new customer, get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 with FanDuel. That means bonus bets coming back to you. Your first bet does not win with FanDuel. Download the app right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. You can bet on anything you're looking for in the sports world. That includes point spreads and totals, money lines, player props, future betting, and live betting. The Hawks are back in action. Quick turnaround, obviously, on Wednesday in Minnesota. FanDuel will have the best options for you for the lines before the game and even during the game with all the live betting options that they definitely offer during games. And from there, find many more exclusive bets at FanDuel. And FanDuel also lets you combine bets together for a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't miss a chance with our no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. All right, and to the player evaluations in this one, a little bit shorter than usual. I understand that because it was kind of a blowout game and I was behind schedule and all that stuff, so my apologies, but we'll have more on this on the second half of back-to-back on Wednesday. Anyway, to the players. The bench was not quite as good as the starters in this game. Not a huge surprise given that the Hawks were down a couple pieces. Garrison Matthews will start there. 18 minutes in his first rotation effort from the Hawks' perspective. 1-5 from the floor, 0-3 from 3. It will be hard for Matthews to play well without making shots, but I don't worry about that at all. He's obviously a proven shooter. Thought he was okay when he played. Didn't really kill them anywhere. Aaron Holiday, same thing. Four assists. Good to see that from Aaron. 4 points. Had one pretty bad turnover, but was otherwise pretty solid. Aaron's weaknesses are always in his creation ability as a small guard, but I thought he was pretty decent overall. Sadiq Bey had 14 points and 11 rebounds. That's obviously pretty productive in 20 minutes. Took 13 shots and four free throws, so he's very, very aggressive getting shots up. I thought he played not that well. I mean, a couple of bully ball possessions that were pretty intriguing to see from him in the second half. Made his first two threes. Actually, I think he was 3 of his last 11 from the floor in this game. And then defensively, pretty rough as usual from Sadiq against his old team. But anyway, there's that. I thought he was just like, he was fine. AJ Griffin, I thought, played pretty well. Not quite as well as he did the other night, but still pretty solid from him. 11 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist, and plus 10 in 18 minutes for AJ. And then Okongwu had 7 points and 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, an assist, and a steal. Weirdly, he had 8 rebounds, 7 offensive and 1 defensive. That's a split that you don't often see. Okongwu obviously has been playing very well recently. That was definitely the case in this game as well. I don't have a whole lot to add there. His strength really pops off the screen, I thought, in this game and watching it back. So good to see him kind of taking care of business against a vulnerable front court from the Pistons. To the starters, DeAndre Hunter had a nice start, had 10 points like the first 8 minutes, and then ended up the night with 12. I thought he was just okay. He didn't play particularly well. I thought he got some credit after the game from Snyder, which is probably good to see from that perspective on defense. Point of attack stuff, offensively, just kind of meh, but not too terrible either. Bogey started in this game, hit 4 threes, 18 points, 3 assists. I think 3 of the 3s were in pretty short order, 4 of 9, but obviously that's why you want him out there. His shooting is extremely valuable, and it was in this game. John Collins was fine, 15 points, 8 rebounds, had a steal and a block as well. I think he was pretty solid, hit 2 of 5 from 3. Defensively, had some issue with Bagley for sure, but Bagley was really, really hot in this one, so I'm not sure that's like on Collins necessarily. I thought he played fairly well. Capella was really good, I thought. 12 points, 16 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 25 minutes. So Clint had 60 rebounds in 25 minutes. That's an extremely impressive number. And then the defensive stuff, he was really, really locked in, really, really good in this one. I thought he was actually maybe their best player overall. He was really good. And then Trey. Trey was not super efficient with his actual floor game, but got to the line 15 times, made 13 to them, 30 points, 12 assists, 3 turnovers. And when you factor in the free throws, he was still perfectly efficient in this game. I thought he played well. He wasn't perfect by his standards, but still was a generally positive factor and was in total control of this game, even without his best shooting, because he was 4 of 10 on twos in this one. From here, by the way, the Hawks have a pretty interesting test on Wednesday. Before we get to that, though, the standings. The Hawks benefited from Miami, Toronto, and Chicago all being off today. That was their closest. Those are their closest competitors in the Eastern standings. So that definitely helps, because you win the game, you move up half game. So after Tuesday's results, the Hawks are 2.5 games back of Miami. They're 1 ahead of Toronto and 1.5 ahead of Chicago. I went through all the tiebreaker stuff on yesterday's podcast, but they do lose a tiebreaker to Miami. So it still is very, very unlikely that the Hawks will pass the Heat, because they have to actually get past them all the way. They can't just tie them. But with Toronto, they have the tiebreaker there, so that's definitely very solid. And again, they had to win tonight, and they did, but that's just one piece of the puzzle, because they play the Wolves on Wednesday. So a quick turnaround. They're already in the air now as I'm talking to you right now on Tuesday evening into Wednesday. Because Murray had the illness, Snyder said pregame that he wasn't sure if Murray would even travel to Minnesota. That was obviously still up in the air. We won't have an official injury listing until Wednesday afternoon, so keep an eye on that for sure. And also, the Wolves are on normal rest after a win in New York on Monday. So already an advantage there for Minnesota, that they have the rest advantage and home court, obviously two big factors there. Also, in addition to all of that, Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns are both listed as questionable for the Wolves, which you might not think much of. But for some context, Edwards played the first 71 games of the season for Minnesota and then missed the last two. He might come back in this game. And even more beyond that is that Towns has missed the last 52 games in a row for the Wolves. He's been out for a long time. So he might be back. If he comes back, he'll be limited. But obviously, the Wolves will be better if they have Towns and Edwards than if they don't. So that's something to keep an eye on in the future. As far as like the betting line and all that stuff, I'm not entirely sure what it's going to look like when it comes to actually at tip-off, because of Murray's uncertainty and obviously the uncertainty with Edwards and Towns. But I think if everybody plays, if we just assume all three of them play, Minnesota will be favoring the game almost certainly. We'll see what happens otherwise. I'm looking to see if our friends at FanDuel have a number up right now. and they do actually a placeholder line. The Hawks are underdogs by 4.5 points at FanDuel as of right now, late on Tuesday night. So not unwinnable by any means, but certainly a huge step up in competition when compared to the last two games. I know they lost one of those two games, but Minnesota on the road on a back-to-back is tough. And as many have noted, the Hawks have been pretty bad on back-to-backs this year. In fact, they are 2-10 on the second night of a back-to-back, no matter what the travel is. And this is one that's actually a pretty bad travel situation. You have to go from Atlanta to Minnesota overnight. That's a pretty tough one. So nothing is assured on either side. Obviously a tough one, but that's kind of why the Hawks need to win tonight, because they are going to be underdogs probably at tip-off on Wednesday, and then we'll see if they're able to respond with a win to nudge above 500 for the first time in a couple of games. All right, that'll be it for today's podcast. Please subscribe to the show across podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're also on Google Play and Stitcher and all those places, plus YouTube on the video side. Likes and ratings and reviews are all encouraged. Please auto-download the podcast no matter what. Also follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnHawks. Follow me on Twitter at BTRoll and follow my Patreon at patreon.com/BTRoll. We'll be back again with another show after the game on Wednesday. We'll see you all next time.